See, does it? Testing, testing, yep. It's working. So, I thought I had a list of topics that I thought I might ask you about. How much time have we got?
How long do you usually take?
Well, I don't know. I could talk for half an hour and a half, 2 hours probably, depending on how forthcoming you are.
I'm off three. You know, I have to go home sometime today.
Okay.
Let's get started. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I think we'll have more than 30 minutes, maybe up to an hour, maybe even a little more anyhow.
Okay, good. I guess I'm curious about, well, one of the things that's, you know, radically changed in the last 20, 30, 40 years is the extent of tribal businesses. And I'm curious about about how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Does individual tribal members run businesses, or the tribe, or both? The tribe runs them and individuals work for them?
It's both. Majority of them would be the tribe.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, you said 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
What made us go into business? I think the answer is always simple. In fact, 40, 30, 20 years ago, the reservation, the tribe here, probably like the other tribe, had to rely on the BIA funding for their existence.
Yeah.
For their, you know, they call it now a 638 contract, but various short-term kind of programs that they will throw out to feed to the Indian people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if not most of the time, the funding from the Bureau wasn't enough to do the job that they were designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, depending on the administration, Republicans, Democrats, the amount funded is always up and down, so you couldn't plan your future on that kind of an existence.
Yeah.
So I think out of necessity or desperation or survival, the tribe had to come up with something that would at least give them some stability in their long-range planning.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know what would have been the first thing or when, but I know now, I mean, I know today, that is why we do a lot of these other things, and I suspect that's what it would have been back then.
Yeah, as far as I remember, what I noticed then was cattle program, and that was about all that I remember anyway, in
yeah,
about
those
1960.
Were, that was an individual thing, and it still is an individual.
So then there's farming of various sorts. There's oranges, are there?
Yeah, we've experimented in various farming activity, and citrus have been one, and that has stayed with us. And I think we're probably expanding a little at a time in citrus, you know, because of the frost in northern Florida. At some points it kills the citrus and they keep moving further south, and we were here in the south, so we try to take advantage of these situations, get into citrus down here while the northern citrus farmers may be going out of business or moving.
Yeah. So
that would be one of the reasons we got into it, and we're still in it. And we've tried other type of farming, you know, just regular vegetable type farming. But again, some things at the beginning we may have not been successful at it, but it wasn't because the conditions, the time, whatever were right. You know, in our situation, we had to try to do large scale farming, and we had never done that before.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, we may have had some bad experiences, but later on, we're right now, Jacob Bassioli, you probably know his name or heard of his name.
Yeah.
He's in charge of, I think, peppers and other type farmers out there now. So sometimes it's expensive lessons, but we do learn something and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've never been in a sugarcane farming, but the Tribe Inc. is involved in sugarcane up in Brighton.
Oh, yeah?
So the citrus is here, and we're doing some seasonal vegetables and sugarcane now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Taking notes. How does that work then? How much of that's tribal and how much individual? I don't understand the relation between it's on tribal land, so individuals.
If individual wants to propose something individually, regardless of what it is, they would need permission or a lease from the tribal council,
uh-huh,
who controls all the reservation land.
Uh-huh.
And if the tribal council sees fit, they work out an arrangement, the lessee pays the council something or whatever,
uh-huh,
for X number of years, they can grant it to him, or the tribe itself, themselves, whatever the right word is, can do business on their reservation.
So do you contract with outsiders to do farming on the reservation?
No, not now. We used to.
Uh-huh.
But we do have outside people that leased land before for various reasons.
Uh-huh. Like what?
I think, you know, the mobile home parks here,
mm-hmm,
two of them are leased to an outside lessee to conduct the mobile home parks here.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Osceola was saying the other day that he suspects that not in his lifetime, but eventually all of Hollywood will be leased out and everybody will move to Big Cypress. Not while I'm alive, he said. But it sure looks like it's expanding around Hollywood and businesses going up. But
yeah, I think maybe there isn't that good of a PR from within, because we acquired one of the larger leases, that Cadillac Park over there,
mm-hmm,
and there's two other ones. One's over 100 acres, and the other one's in, maybe, I'm not sure how much it is, but we are acquiring some of these leases whenever we can and whatever, however we can, and we're adding what little more we can to this reservation. So
mm-hmm,
the tribe administration's process is to reacquire the land.
Uh-huh.
The more the better.
So you got what was new to me, there's a reservation at Fort Pierce now?
Mm-hmm.
How was that set up?
I think, again, we do have Seminoles in the Fort Pierce area for, uh-huh, a long time, maybe even before we were organized here. The Jack Tommy family.
Uh-huh.
I guess a lot of the Seminoles were in that area, Fort Pierce, Indian Town.
Uh-huh.
And I guess as things progress, some would end up in a certain areas here and there and whatever. So there was a family in that Fort Pierce area for a long time. And where they were staying, I think they were kind of staying there with the approval by the landowner,
so,
but no lease or no arrangement, just on a...
Squatting?
Mm-hmm.
Squatting,
but that's on the say-so of the owner, but
yes,
never anything,
yeah,
more than that.
Yeah.
And there again, progress or whatever, the owner either died or he wanted to sell the land for new development to maximize the use of that land.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were left with nowhere to go, and the tribe was wanting to help them out in a place.
So just one owner? Or
one landowner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
After several years or so, the people there had scattered around there, married there and whatever, but some nucleus of the group stayed together and wanted to see if tribe could assist them acquiring land.
Mm-hmm.
So after several years of off and on this and that, we finally bought a 60-acre tract over there, and It's been taken in trust, so it's being developed for the area tribal members there.
Uh-huh. When was that acquired?
It was probably put in trust, maybe 95, uh-huh. 96, somewhere in that area.
Okay. I guess I can find some of the details from the BIA offices
yeah.
in Washington if I can poke them. So those are mostly creeks that are living there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, what did we say? Farming, cattle, farming. James Billy was telling me something about something called, is it Ishtambila Corporation, aviation? Mm-hmm. Is that, how's that?
I think among the other businesses that tribe has got into along with that farming, the tribe owns two hotels in the Hillsborough County area.
Uh-huh.
And that is Stangida. That's an aircraft manufacturing. And I think he's involved in a what the hell would you call it? One of them natural herbal type product.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure exactly how that's going. This was between the council and outside people, but James and Mitchell are on the board,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not sure what the progress is, but we are part of I think that one is called Hilishwa,
mm-hmm.
something or other, and then the same thing on this Istangida, that's an aircraft manufacturing. I think it's a two-seater to begin with, and again, I'm not sure what the state
mm-hmm.
of the production there.
What does Istangida mean?
Flying? I mean, not flying, but that's a creek for airplane. Istangida?
Istangida.
Mm-hmm.
I misheard you. Okay. For. It means airplane?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's not a literal translation, but
yeah.
I guess you know about more of these things than I would, but
no.
You know, you almost have to explain. It's like kind of a. Not the literal, but
yeah.
If you translate the literal meaning of the Indian word, it means flying the people.
Uh-huh.
Isti would be
yeah.
person,
yeah, that
and
what,
flying
that
would be, I mean, a tamgida would be flying.
Isti I recognized,
mm-hmm.
the rest I didn't. And then Hilishwa is medicine, is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else is he involved in?
Those are sort of contract with outsiders for.
They were. Is that tribe is in partnership with the
tribe is in partnership. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Something else?
I'm trying to think. What else is there, other than those two hotels we have in Hillsborough County?
Uh huh. I thought there was some kind of a, near here, I thought I saw some kind of an auto repair operation, or is that an individual?
On the reservation?
Yeah, I saw it was on the reservation. Maybe
is it on that 64?
Yeah.
It's probably leased to a tribal member.
Uh-huh.
It's not a tribal operation, it's a tribal
uh-huh.
member.
Uh-huh. And the cigarette thing is the same kind of deal?
The cigarette is the same thing. They need to get a lease from the tribe plus a license from the tribe to sell cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribe taxes the
uh-huh.
shop X amount like the state of Florida taxes cigarette.
Uh-huh. Same amount?
No, it works out to our advantage that it is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Then buying it on the outside,
yeah.
That's where our advantage is. People want to come and buy a cheaper cigarette than on the outside.
And it's cheaper because the tribal tax is less than the state tax.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Has that been objected to? Does the state fuss about that?
I think at this point they probably don't like it. They made some overt actions to undo it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have a legislative exemption from collecting state sales tax.
Uh-huh.
And some years ago, a repeal bill always came up in Tallahassee, but we were always able to defeat it. And at one time, the governor made an all-out effort to undo that exemption, but he failed, and it has been kind of at a low roar. It's not that they've given up. It's just that they want to pick and choose a better time to do it again.
So you have to keep lobbying and watching and lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that leaves bingo, which is the biggest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's oil leases too. Is that right, or am I wrong on that? Oil rights?
No. No, then not that I know of.
Uh-huh.
Some people have asked us to do some exploratory drilling in Big Cypher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we let them, and I think whatever they find, if there was anything down there, is not worth the financing that it would take to get it up or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think Seminole doesn't have any oil leases.
Yeah. Huh. The oranges is leased to outsiders or run by the tribe, the citrus?
The three main citrus groves we have. One, the larger one, I'm not sure how many acres it is, and maybe the older one. We reacquired those citrus from the original lessees, an outside lessee.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how long ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That is owned by the Tribe Inc.
Uh-huh.
And the other citrus on Big Cypher, this was developed through probably one of them ANA grants from Washington or whatever.
Hmm.
So that was done under the tribal council. And I'm not sure how many acres is there. And in Brighton, there is an individual that got a lease from the tribe to do citrus, and he's still there. And there's a small tribal council citrus in Big Cypress, so three are tribal and one is individual.
Are there any publicly available figures on the annual income from this kind of thing?
There probably is. If you're talking separately or individually, you'd probably need to check with Ted on
Ted
Boyd, the the comptroller.
For the tribal operations or both?
I think on the Tribe Inc., you would probably need to talk to Jean. She handles their finances.
Jean
Fontana.
Uh-huh. And I'm not sure how I'm going to summarize this kind of stuff in this article. This has to start with the beginning of the history. The full history plus as much as I can put down and figure out about the culture and all of the changes. I'm sure I'm not going to have more than a paragraph or two on most of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the bingo is a cause of an awful lot of change,
and
economic benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the impression that the Seminoles are really in some ways responsible for the whole beginning of Indian bingo. Is that, am I exaggerating?
It's not in some ways. We are it. We don't want to start it, the thing.
Really? It began here. Uh-huh. When was that?
In 79.
79, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So how was that set up? How was that started? What set it off?
I wasn't here when that took place. I came around 81.
Mm-hmm.
But from people and from hearing James, that's when he came in as his first term chairman.
Uh-huh.
The idea of bingo was being studied or on the table when the outgoing chairman, that's Howard Tommy,
mm-hmm.
left and then seek re-elections, and James came in, and then this bingo proposal was submitted to him. And I think there was various talks on the contract, particularly the fees and the years and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I guess they agreed to whatever that was at the time, maybe 45-55 mm-hmm. split or something.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was a new thing that the State Bureau of Indian Affairs never had any experience. So I think the tribe asked for some funding to start this project off from the Bureau,
mm-hmm.
but you know, anything new, a different Bureau is not going to touch anyhow.
Oh no, it's an old bureaucracy.
Yeah, so they found an investor who is willing to take a chance on an unknown mm-hmm. product here,
mm-hmm.
but from evaluating the project, if it goes through, it could be lucrative, and they did, and it was, and mm-hmm. then after it got off the ground, you know, that's when we had problems with the state, and then later on with the Bureau about the leases, and that sort of thing. But it's a tribally owned project, no lease involved on tribal land.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a management contract, and from there we didn't have any guidelines on how to structure the management agreement. This was the first of its kind,
mm-hmm.
so these things had to be done as we went along.
Mm-hmm.
And then some years later, you know, Bureau thinks they're the expert. Now they want to tell us what to do and whatever.
Yep.
So we've had these kind of things from the Bureau all up and down the line. But mm-hmm. it was a situation where, again, when you're in a desperate situation or in a corner, I guess that makes you use your imagination. But at that time, yeah. our tribal budget was only a little over $1 million or so.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said before, you can't depend on consistent funding from the government. So we had to do something, and there's no two ways about it. We've always said gaming has made the difference on the reservation, all phases of reservation.
Uh-huh. What I keep seeing or hearing, there's a difference between bingo and, what do they call it? There's two different.
Class two and three?
Yeah. Casino.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between bingo and casino?
Casino, what the government labels as class three, it's the kind of thing you would see in Las Vegas. Slot machines, table, crap, mm-hmm. those sort of thing. And bingo would be like the table kind of a bingo or some variation of it.
Mm-hmm. But slot machines too, no?
No, they don't fall into that class two, which is the bingo portion. They fall in class three, which is the full-blown casino.
So what you got here is a casino?
That's what the state and the federal says, but we're saying what we have is class two, and these machines are just the electronic version of the bingo.
Uh-huh. I see. There was a TV show the other night about gambling,
mm-hmm.
which made the point that the machines that with artificial with wheels that appear to go around, that's all that what numbers are going to show on the is determined as soon as the quarter goes in the slot,
mm-hmm.
and the fake wheels are meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a copy of the antique kind where there were actually wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether that means that, is that a slot machine? Is that a, Is that what you've got here? I didn't really look when I was wandering mm-hmm. in here.
I think appearance-wise, it's not a slot machine with that one arm bandit as people know it.
Yeah.
This is one of them push button kind of a machines where you put your money in, and you, if you win, it gives you a token, and you have to take it elsewhere to get it cashed in.
Uh-huh.
Again, this is all designed to fit into the Class 2 definition.
Uh-huh.
Internal workings, I'm not sure if state or the Fed are that interested in the internal workings yeah. of the machine.
But why is there a difference between, why this big difference between Class 2 and Class 3? What's the purpose of the distinction?
I think the distinction is that if the state have Class 3, then tribe and state should negotiate a compact to which the tribe can have something similar to the state.
Uh-huh.
But if the tribe doesn't have Class 3, then they don't have to negotiate with the state on Class 3.
Uh-huh.
And here in Florida, state says they don't have Class 3. But again, our position is that they do have Class 3 with their lottery and their various variations on their vending machine,
uh-huh.
allowing the crews to know where ships to come to their shore.
Uh-huh.
And they have these casino nights that they let charitable organizations have and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying they're a gambling state, Class 3, so they should negotiate with us, but that's where the big difference is.
Uh-huh. So it's in the courts, or it's in the legislature, or both?
It's been in the courts for a while. We made our first request to late Governor Child back in 91, and we still don't have a compact.
Uh-huh.
And we've had one case go up to Supreme Court, uh-huh. and we've got, I don't know what else we've decided in between, but right now we're defending a suit brought by the U.S. attorney, and then we're prosecuting a case against the Secretary of Interior, uh-huh. plus one against the state, so.
Uh-huh. All on this Class 2, Class 3
yeah.
distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And the strange thing is, you know, even before those regulations were ever adopted in Washington, like I said, we were first ones in 79, and we probably had some of these machines even before
mm-hmm.
these legislations came in.
Then you need a grandfather clause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems like we should be, because we're the one that started it,
yeah.
and we're probably the ones that don't have the compact yet.
Yeah. So. And as other tribes set it up, they consulted with you? No.
At the beginning, even when we haven't got into the compact or Class 3 situation, various tribes would ask to come and see our operation.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribe would let them come in, and he would host them and speak to them and that sort of a thing. But lately, they have their own arrangement with the state or something that they're satisfied.
Yeah.
So it's not all that often that we hear from anyone who comes to our facilities anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So the tribe has bingo here at Immokalee, at Tampa.
And Brighton.
And Brighton, uh-huh. Four.
Mm-hmm.
Four. And the Miccosukees have one.
Mm-hmm.
Just begun, or?
I think they've been at it for maybe 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Think it's going to be competitive?
Our intent is not to compete with them,
mm-hmm.
but just the location, you know, we're further north than they are,
yeah.
and they're going to run out of land going south, so.
Yeah.
It could be that just the mere location, we may be able to draw better than they would.
Uh-huh.
But again, our intent is not to go out of way to compete with them.
Yeah.
We just do our normal thing, and I think because they're kind of locked in on South Florida, Uh-huh. It's what will limit them, but you know, they got the whole South America too.
Yeah, they got a huge operation there. Mm-hmm. They need a new hotel that's opening up soon. And,
mm-hmm.
But I guess there's enough nuts around to support both.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I can see what you mean. They got Latin America to come.
Mm-hmm.
People who come to Miami first are liable to.
Yeah.
Be attracted there, and it's just.
I think without actually competing head to head, which we yeah. don't want to do and won't
yeah.
do,
yeah.
there's probably enough people in here to support both.
Yeah. I guess that seems to be the situation. What little I know about elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
Connecticut, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to imagine how there's so many people that are willing to throw away their money, but there are. Let's see what else I was going to talk about to you. Yeah, I was kind of curious about tribal housing. That's one of the tremendous changes since in 1950 there were maybe five families living in frame houses and
mm-hmm.
everybody else in a chikki.
Mm-hmm.
So the houses that one sees now are tribally. The tribe build them or individuals build them with tribal money? How does it work?
I think, I'm not sure when, but I suspect it's been like that from the beginning on these houses. They're part of that HUD program.
Mm-hmm.
Only we don't go through the county or the state for our share of the money.
Mm-hmm.
Indian tribes have a direct line to HUD for separate fundings. And I think, I don't know when that came about, like I say, but
mm-hmm.
there are some requirements tribe have to meet, plans, whatever needs, and then it is funded by HUD.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that are qualified, they'll set aside such amount of money, and the housing authority, again, as part of the HUD requirements, tribe have to develop a housing authority to handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
The housing authority makes the request to. Now it's the Chicago office. I don't know what it would have been back then.
Mm-hmm.
But money would be allocated, and then the housing authority would find a general contractor, design approved by everyone, tribe and contractor, a HUD office,
mm-hmm.
and then get the construction going from there. And it's always been like that until recently, where the tribe was given the opportunity to either keep it as is, having a housing authority and the HUD office in Chicago having a major role in their decision,
mm-hmm.
or this NAHASTA, I'm not sure what it stands for anymore, but you know what that 638 contract and self-governance concept?
No.
This is in that same vein here, but only it's in housing,
mm-hmm.
to where housing authority is abolished. That was a requirement of HUD,
mm-hmm.
and the money go directly to tribal council, who will have more say so on what happens,
mm-hmm.
and to whom and to what. So we're in that mode, but that's only been probably less than a year.
Oh.
But from the beginning, it was probably home ownership, and we have rental projects and home ownership combined. So the housing we have here probably falls into one of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
Mutual help, something or other.
Mm-hmm. You got an abbreviation, Matt? Is that what it was, MH?
Which? Oh, the NAHASA?
NAHASA.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Native American Housing. NAHASA, NAHAS.
Uh-huh. Something, yeah.
Native American Housing
Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can
something
look it up.
Anyhow.
I can look it up, yeah. So, how does that work? The old way, if I understood right, was that what people used to call camps in English were owned by the women.
And I think, again, if the home, each person. Back then, there may have been no leases to the individual that had a campsite.
Yeah.
And if it was Chiqui and nobody cared,
Yeah.
But when we get into these bureaucrats here, they want a lease.
Yeah.
That shows, in case the individual or tribe didn't do what they're supposed to do, they could always give it to someone else, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this concept of lease came in, but that would be the main reason, because of the government requirements, not the council requirement.
Yeah.
But now that it is in place, anyone wants a home site lease or a business lease, it have to be approved by the council now.
I meant, is the, if I understood correctly, in the old days, the woman was the head of the house,
mm-hmm.
the head of the household.
And the man, not only the household, but the whole family and the whole everything. Yeah.
And a man married in, and his, so to speak, traditional legal rights were with his mother's place.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that with modern housing? Or is it completely on the general American model?
I think if that concept is still recognized and observed, it's probably the older folks. I'm not sure where the line would be, but uh-huh. not too much on the younger generation.
Uh-huh. I remember being impressed back then, and again, this visit, I've been around a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
people always refer to places by the name of the man, mm-hmm. the male, so it was so-and-so's camp, it was always the man.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if I understood right, it was the woman who really was in charge of the place.
Mm-hmm. It would be the woman first, and then in general, it would be that woman's clan's camp.
Yeah. But in English, people always referred to it by the name of the man.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there was no adult man.
Mm-hmm.
And that still strikes me as
mm-hmm.
odd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was talking to Jimmy Osceola the other day, and he's so interested in genealogies.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it tends to be through, the names he mentions tend to be male
mm-hmm.
names, and then he says so-and-so's wife or so-and-so's mother, but the so-and-so is almost always male.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't understand whether it's because it's in English or whether the manner of thinking is something I don't understand, or both.
And I was thinking maybe it maybe both. It's one of those things, you don't know what comes first, but maybe mm-hmm. it's an English concept, and whenever anyone makes inquiries along those lines, they would have never understood the Indian version anyhow, so
yeah.
it's trying to accommodate the questions, the English version or something.
Yeah.
I suspect that's how they got into it back in the old days.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, part of the problem was many of the older women didn't have any acceptable English names.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, what else was I going to ask about? What do you know about the? I'm curious about the survival or disappearance of both the Miccosukee and the Creek languages. I have the impression that Creek is more near gone than Miccosukee, and Miccosukee is more nearly gone among the Seminoles than among the Miccosukee tribe. Do you think that's right?
First, I'm not sure. Again, I'm saying I'm not sure if I would agree with the premise that the language is going out.
Uh-huh.
And between Miccosukee and Seminole, or just taking Seminole, we have both Creek and Miccosukee.
Yeah.
I don't know in what percentage, close to half or whatever. And all of Miccosukee, I guess you can categorize them as Miccosukee.
Yeah.
So I think there have been maybe, if there's any lessening going on both Miccosukee and Seminole, Miccosukee and Creek,
mm-hmm.
I think it probably has affected them both. But since the Seminole were more liberal in their thinking, mm-hmm. which I'm not saying is good or bad, than mm-hmm. Miccosukee, you know, they wanted to stay more traditional and be left alone kind of a thing for mm-hmm. more years than we were.
Yeah.
So they were able to maintain their language. not longer, but more intact than we did.
Mm.
So they still have it, but to what degree it has gone down, I'm not sure. But if it has, and it probably has, but the thinking is that we shouldn't just take it as a trend and eventually it's going to disappear.
Yeah.
It may, but again,
yeah.
let the future tell us about that.
Yeah.
And that's why James has cultural programs to revive some of these things back.
Yeah.
And I think the tribal members themselves, the younger ones today that may have little knowledge of tradition and language, may come to their senses sometime. They do come to their realization that they did miss out on something.
Yeah.
So they want to learn some of these things on their own. So it's probably true that we've lost a little bit, but at the same time, you know, just like trends, anything else, a head of nationalism comes on now and then.
Yep.
So I think Indian tribes are always part of those trends. And
sure.
And I think the young folks, they see what the tribe is up to, probably on their own wants to know more about Seminole tradition.
Do you think there's a higher proportion of young children who don't speak Indian at Brighton than at Big Cypress, say, or at Hollywood, or what?
I think there isn't no way of telling.
No way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My impression was based on very little.
Based on what?
Based on very little.
Mm-hmm.
Well, partly wandering around and listening, and that not nearly as much as I hoped to do, that you were more likely to hear children speaking Miccosukee on the trail than you were at Big Cypress. And I
think that's probably true, because like I said before, Miccosukee has kept their tradition intact.
Yeah.
That's why they took a long time before they went into this gaming and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their argument was that they don't want gaming, they want to keep with their tradition and whatever.
Yeah.
But later on they changed their mind. But back then, when we were moving into other things, they didn't. So back then, their kids would have spoken more Miccosukee than the Big Cypress Miccosukee.
Yeah. And the so-called independent Seminoles, even more so? Even more traditional?
As far as language goes, again, this is just my own opinion, but
yeah.
I think if anybody takes a look at it, it would bear me out in that I don't know why they call themselves independents, because they had more modern-day convenience before I ever did.
Really?
Like the recording machines and TV and electricity.
Uh-huh. Out at the west end of the trail?
Or huh?
At the west end of the trail, is that where they're located?
I don't think you can say they're located in any one place.
Ah,
and
okay.
That's always the problem. Who's an independent?
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. And there's very few.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said 18.
Probably more than that, but not as much as they like to think they are.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and again, you know, don't quote me on this thing, but if they're the independent traditionalists, why do they marry people outside of their tribe?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like tradition to me.
No. What's the best place? I mean, in this thing that I'm working on, I want to quote some figures, some population figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that I can get them from the Seminole Tribal Office and the Miccosukee Tribal Office.
Mm-hmm.
How can I find out how many that aren't on either row, how many independents? Is there any way to, who would know best?
I don't think we would have it,
yeah.
Because there's no reason for us to
keep
track of that name.
Would the agency have
it? Yeah, the agency would, because, you know, that land claim settlement, they have to identify how many were in Miccosukee, how many in Seminoles, and how many were on the independent roll.
Uh-huh.
They would have it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we do somewhere, but I don't even know where it would be.
Yeah. So was that, the money was passed out from that, finally, from that land claims settlement?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the last I heard was back when that guy was, whatever the hell his name was reconstructing the 1914.
Kersey?
Rowell, no. The guy that worked for the BIA that was here for a while and got into trouble, and the BIA recalled him.
Faraca?
Faraca, mm-hmm. Steve Faraca. He was the guy, I think, who worked out the 1914, the reconstructed 1914 census for Florida to compare with the Oklahoma one.
Mm-hmm.
But
we got our share and distributed out, but I think Mississippi and the independence, you know, again, get back to that tradition. The land is not for sale, and they've never taken that money.
They really haven't, huh?
No.
Huh. So the BIA has it.
Somewhere.
Let me change this. I run out of tape.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, if I can figure out how the hell to do it.